Gemara Makot. Masechet Makot has been donated anonymously in honor of Morris Dweck, Sammy Esses, Yaron Mizrahi, and Tuvi Asis for their endless work for the Kahal Kadosh, Bet Yaakov. May Hashem give them continued strength in order to serve the Kahal and the community, the Shem Shamayim, in good health and prosperity and shalom. Amen.
Amen. Amen. That was being studied in Mishmat. Abraham ben Esther, Hashem ten hanam ben Eden, Amen. That was being studied in Shlema. Dina batzara, in la refana la refana, nefesh ufadru, ufata karbad abo vechen yirasum, venomar, Amen. Amen. We are studying today on Chaf Alef Amud Bet. We are Amar le'ula le'rav Nachman. That is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 lines of the bottom. We are in a famous sugya of the case where a person does one action and the Mishnah tallied up 8 different lavin. It's plowing with kil'ayim, and then the list goes on. It was mugdashim, kilakirim, Shvi'it, Yom Tov, he was a Kohen, and a Nazir in the cemetery. So, the Gemara now is going to try to find some other Isurim as well that we can tack on besides the 8. So the Gemara says, Amar le'ula Rav Nachman, v'lilke nameh mishum zoreya b'yom tov, which means, since we just established in today's Gemara, that when you're plowing and you're covering the dirt, just covering the seeds, that's considered zoreya. That's considered planting. We said that's considered planting of the virakol. So therefore, the chahorai should be over on zoreya by yom tov. Besides choresh on yom tov, which the Mishnah said you hayav on by yom tov, you should be hayav also zoreya on yom tov. These are two separate avot melachot. And therefore you should get lashes for each melachah. Just like on Shabbat, if a person did the 39 melachot in one forgetting of Shabbat, he gets one set of lashes per melachah. So similarly on Yom Tov also, you should get one set of lashes for Horesh and one set of lashes for Zoraya. So it should be 9 Isurim. That's the Gemara's question. We established already the Me'ape Zoraya. Amar le, it's Maktana v'shiyer. Listen, the Mishnah left a few out. You're right. Lav dafka. There's more that the Mishnah left out. Amar le, Tana ketari shemona. Atama Tana v'shiyer. Come on, the Mishnah tells you over 8. 8 is dafka. Then you tell me the Mishnah left some out. You don't give me a number if you tell me you left some out. How the number is a dafka? Amar ava yesh chiluk melachot b'Shabbat ben chiluk melachot. Yom Tov. That's the Gemara's answer. When do you say that you hayav per melacha? That's on Shabbat. However, on Yom Tov, even if you did all the 39 melachot in one he'alem, in one forgetting, you only hayav one. So therefore, you did Chodesh and Zoraya. You only get one. Why is that so? Rivan. Im asa shtayim v'shlosh melachot b'yalem achad u'asa melacha sheyesh ba shtayim heinu hayav ela achad. Leman demarav ara lechalek yatzat. Which means we have a pasuk in the Torah, Lo tevaru esh b'chol moshevotchem yom Shabbat. Why does that have to say Lo tevaru esh? The Torah already tells us Lo ta'aseh kol melacha. Why does it have to single out Hava'ara to teach me that just like in Hava'ara, you're going to be hayaf individually, you're going to be hayaf for other 39, each one individually. Svira le'en chiluk melachot b'yom tov. The b'yom tov le'yatzet Hava'ara. Which means the Lo tevaru esh was said dafka by Shabbat. It was not said by Yom Tov. So you don't have that chidush of lechalek yatzah, that each one is going to be hayav its own item. Uman da man abiyav alav yatzahat v'nafkad lechalek melachot meva'aseh achat mehen na'anim edhe b'sohed d'id b'chayif hatat kol melachot Shabbat. When, according to the other opinion, when are you hayav each melachah? That's only on a melachah, that's for each item you hayav hatat, and if you do it b'shogeg d'ba'i parashah v'aseh mehad mehen kamayri ba'atav al yom tov t'ayub makutu. And Yom Tov, even if you do it b'mezid, it's only Hayuv Malkut, and therefore there's no Karet either, and therefore there's no Chiluk Melacha. So those are the two logics why on Yom Tov there is no Chiluk Melacha. Again, either because it doesn't say Lo Tevaru Esh by Yom Tov to separate each Melacha, or because the rule is only items that are Shogeg, Hatat, Zadon, Karet, they are separate. Inyan Hayuv, Hayuv, Mashenken Yom Tov. Comes the Gemara and asks another question. Actually, the Gemara says, Amar Le, so he tells him back, Rav Nachman tells Ula, Adateh. Adateh means you're right, which means I accept. Ula tells Rav Nachman, Adateh. The right name's right. Ula tells Rava, actually. Adateh, Zuteh, meaning you are correct. Okay, comes the Gemara and continues. Etive Abaye. Abaye has a question. Ve'en, Hayduk, Malachot, Ve'yom Tov. What are you talking about? There's no Hayduk, Malachot. You don't separate the Malachot and Yom Tov, each one individually. Ve'atena, we have a Mishnah. Ha'mevashel Gid, Be'halav, Be'yom Tov, Ve'achalo. Okay. He cooked Gid al Nashe with milk. And he ate it. And it was Yom Tov. How many does he get? Loke Hamesh. Five Isurim. Let's count them up. Loke Mishum Ochel Gid. Okay, number one, Gid Anashe. That's Asur. Veloke Mishum Mevashel. Yom Tov. It's cooking on Yom Tov. Not to cook on Yom Tov. Shelo Letzorech. This is Asur to eat anyway. So the cooking is obviously Shelo Letzorech. So that's Asur. Shelo Letzorech. Veloke Mishum Mevashel Gid Behalav. Milk and meat. The gid is considered meat, and you're cooking in the milk, that's Yisur bin Torah. Ve'loke mishum ochel basar b'halav. And you're eating milk and meat. That's another one. Ve'loke mishum hav'ala. And you also hayav mishum hav'ala, making the fire. Which means that's a separate Yisur. The cooking is one Yisur, and the hav'ala is a separate. Which means, let's say one guy made the fire, and one guy did the cooking. It's two different Yisurim. Oh, so what do you see, Bovi? V'im ita mishum hav'ala lo mechayev. Which is according to you, that's telling me that you only hayav one on Yom Tov. Here you be hayav two. You tell me you hayav on the Bishul on Yom Tov and you hayav on the Havara. I thought you told me on Yom Tov you only get one Isur collectively. And this is two Isurim. Bishul is one Isur and making the fire is a separate Isur. Nashi, Rivan. Mishum Havara. Exactly. If one guy cooked and one guy put the fire, it's two separate chayuvin. The mafir mevashel avot melachot. Alma hayav mishum yom tov shtayim avara bishul. Alma yisi hayav tu avara bishul.
Talking about a case where the pot was on top first, where the havara was the bishul.
He made the fire and then he put the fire on. He put the pot on the fire. He did both things. He made the fire. After he made the fire, he took the pot and he put it on.
So that's not about the hot?
Yeah, it's not about the hot case. It's not about the hot case. It's a stam. You have five Yisurim over and you have two. Hayav Mishum Habara and Mishum.
What if you have an Kosher Shechita?
Wait, continue. Comes the Gemara and says, you're right. Apik Habara Va'il Gid Anashe Shel Nevela. Okay, scratch Habara. Take it out, but we said you have five. So put in it, it was a gida nashe of a nevela. So that's an extra isud of nevela. Rivan, the loke apishum nevela shakha. Good, he gets another isud from nevela. But you only have a problem over here. Vatani refhiya, loke shtayim al achilato, v'shalosh al bishulo. The way the rabbi over here, Rabbi Chiya, broke it down, he said, you have two on the eating, and you have three on the cooking. Now let's break it down in Ivan. Shalosh al bishulo. Number one, bishul basar b'halav. Bishul shalol etzorich yom tov. V'av'ara shalol etzorich. And making the fire. That's the three right there. Shtayim al achilato. What's the two isurim on the eating? Achilat gid v'achilat basar b'halav. Now according to you, v'im ita demafukat hav'ara milat achilat nevela v'yisur gimel al achilato. Well, if you tell me you're putting in achilat gid nevela, it's three on the achilah. So basar bechalav, it's gid anashe and it's nevela. So the countdown is not correct. So Gemara says, "Vimita shalosh alechilatu hayav ela." Gemara says, "You're right. Apik havara ve'ayil atze asherah." Okay, new item. Take out havara and put in a new item atze asherah that you cooked with wood. That's forbidden to use. Wood from a tree that was worshipped, Avodah Zarah. And now it makes sense. Because you have shtayim on the achila, that's basar bechalav and gid, and shalosh on the bishul. You have cooking on Yom Tov, shalosh tzorek. Havara, we took out. So you have cooking with basar bechalav, and you have cooking with an asherah wood. That's the three on the cooking. Very good. Where is the isur of using asherah wood? Because it says in the Torah, "Velo yidbak biyadecha." Good, you should not have any hana'ah from the spoils of the from the city. We still have more things. Once already you're telling me that you have asherah wood, tack on another isur. Because the Torah says, "Lo tavi to'ibal betecha," and not to bring an abomination into your house. This asherah is an abominable. So why you tell me only hayav 5? Once already you tell me there's asherah in the story.
6.
Hayav 6. Elacha me'askinan kegon shebishelo ba'atzeh hekdesh. Okay, scratch the asherah. You used wood of hekdesh. Now you know how to use wood of hekdesh. How do we know that? Ba'azarate me'acha. Va'asherehen tisrefu ma'esh lo ta'asun ken. The Torah says, the Asherahim, you have to burn in the fire. But don't do that to God. Meaning the stuff that belongs to God, the Ekdesh stuff, you cannot burn in the fire. Otherwise, you have to treat it in Kodesh way. And there's no Tavi Tu'ayva over here, because Kodesh is not a Tu'ayva. So therefore, the case is talking about where you have Bishul Masar B'Halav, Bishul on Yom Tov, and Bishul with Ekdesh wood, which is a separate issue. That's how you get the 5. Comes the Gemara says, Siman Shanbai, but there's no Malkut on that. Siman Shanbai Shanaz. Okay. Matkifla Rav Hoshaya. You told me in the Mishnah 8 Isurim. So we want to tack on more. Vilyashov Namea Zoreya Benahal Etan. Let's say the guy in the Mishnah that was plowing, let's say he was plowing in the Nahal Etan. That's the place over there where they used to perform the Egla Arufa ceremony. They found a dead body between two cities. They would measure the body to the closest city. Would have to go to a place called Nahal Etan. It's a rocky area over there. Etan is Lashon Hazak. There's rocks over there, and they would slaughter the animal over there, decapitate it, and they would have a whole recitation. The Torah says, you're not allowed to do any melacha in Nahal Etan. As it says, Vazarata mecha shelo ye'aved bo velo yizaraya. You can't work over there in Nahal Etan, nor can you plant. So add that to the Mishnah, where you did all this scenario in the Mishnah in Nahal Etan. Right? So therefore, you have another Isur. Matkif la'alav Hananiah. V'lechshov nami ha-mochek et Hashem ba'alichato. Okay, interesting case. As the guy's walking, he is erasing Hashem's name. How is he doing that? There's 7 names of Hashem, right? You're not allowed to erase. On the ground there's a piece of pottery that has Yud Kei Vav Kei on it. And as the plow is going over the ground, it breaks the pottery. And if it was Shover, it was Mochek the Shem. Now, V'azaratem Achah, how do you know not to erase Hashem's name? V'avedetem et Shemam. Because the Torah says you have to erase their names. The Shem of Avodah Zarah. Lo ta'asun ken, Hashem Elohim. But don't do that to God. Don't erase His name. So why don't you add that to the list? Matkif la'rav Abu. V'lechshov nami ha-kotzitz et baharto. As he's plowing, he cut off a tzara'at that was on his flesh over there. Which means that during the plowing cut off a piece of tzara'at. They're not to cut off tzara'at off your body. You know that that's usur. Hishamir benega tzara'at. We're warning you. Lot ase. Hishamir is lot ase. Don't take off the nega tzara'at. So if you're looking for extra ones, we can give you during the plowing and not extraneous. It's during the plowing itself. The plowing, he had a tzara'at on his leg. And the plow went over his leg, and he chopped off a piece of tzara'at. Matkif l'avaye. Okay, this is getting a little interesting. V'lichshov namei mazia choshen ma'ala efod. V'mesir badei aron. Let's say the Kohen Gadol standing over there. Or the aron is over there. And as he's plowing, he runs by the Kohen Gadol, and it knocks the choshen off his chest. Or it knocked the poles out of the aron kodesh. That's a suit to do that. Vazarate me'acha. Velo yasuru velo yizaha choshen. Now that's one way to learn. But as I saw another pshat how to learn that over there. Someone has said that the Kohen came in the cemetery, by the way. The case in the cemetery. What's the Kohen doing in the cemetery? So you have to say he's samuch le bete kevarot. This guy came close to him and the plow jutted out and knocked off his choshen and knocked the poles off the aron. That's one interpretation. And then I saw that the Dvar says that at least by the aron case, it's talking about where he actually took the poles out of the aron and he's using them to plow with. Oh. So, he's using the sticks of the aron. He's over on the left. And every second he doesn't put it back, he's being over it. So why don't you count that? Okay. So Gemara says, yeah, you're right. Matkif l'alav asher. He did the actual plowing with wood from an Asherah tree. And how do we know the Isur? This is below Yidbak Biyadeka Mi'uma. Okay? Now the truth of the matter is the Gemara right here can ask another question. Once already you tell me you're using Asherah tree, you have the Lotavi Tu'eva. Because what we learned in the last Gemara just a second ago, that once already you have Asherah, you have a Isur of Lotavi Tu'eva, you cannot bring an abomination into the house. The Mefarshim say, Inechenemi. But the Gemara is not asking every single question. The Gemara is being Mekatzer over. You're right. Included in Asherah is included Lotavi Tu'eva. Tack that one on as well. But Kivla Ravina, Velechshuv Nemea Kotzitz Ilanot Tovot. That's the fruit trees over there. You're not to chop down a fruit tree. So as you were plowing over there, you knocked out a fruit tree at the same time. You have to eat from the fruit trees. And you're not allowed to cut it. Okay, so the Gemara does not answer these seven questions. Okay, Tosfot comes along and says, the Gemara was not choshesh too much these questions, because we could say again, Tana v'shiyer. Now even though we said, what do you mean Tana v'shiyer? It says eight. When it says eight l'chavla, you don't go with the Tana v'shiyer. Right, which means like this. Over there the Gemara said eight. Because there the Gemara was trying to make another Isur on Yom Tov. We had already one Isur on Yom Tov of Horesh. The Gemara before, they said, not only Horesh, Zoreya. So, Tana v'shiyer. Come on, the Mishnah tells you eight, and it lists already Yom Tov. And you tell me there's another one on Yom Tov that I forgot? Now, come on. But here, where you talk about other items, the Mishnah doesn't have a problem to list eight, and tell me it did not list other ones. And therefore, you can say Tana v'shiyer. On Yom Tov items, it's not going to be Tana v'shiyer. Let it list it. Because right. Everybody listed Yom Tov already, as Horesh. So let it list it as Zoreya. But on other items that are not even mentioned in the Mishnah, they're ready to support, so we can say Tana v'shiyer, and that's really the Gemara's answer. Good? Okay, comes Gemara says another question. I'm going to have Zaira. Lenabi Mani. Lechshov Namesh Shivua Shelo. Kegon Damar Shivua Shelo Achrosh B'Yom Tov. Guy made a Shivua. I swear, I'm not going to plow on Yom Tov. Get him on that also. Now he went and he did it, and he gave him Malkut on the fact that he broke his... He broke a Shavua. That's a good one. So now the Gemara says, "Atam lo kahala Shavua, mushba ve'omed mehar Sinai." Shavua is not hal, because you're already mushba ve'omed on Har Sinai, not to do work on Yom Tov. You can't make a Shavua on something that you have to do anyway. Shavua you make on something that you voluntarily want to put on yourself. But can a guy make a swear? No, I swear that I'm going to do something against Yom Tov. You already, God made you swear on Har Sinai that you swore to fulfill the Yom Tov. So such a Shavua is not Chal at all. Kevras Amale, Kegon de Amar, Shavua Shelo Echrosh, Ben Behol, Ben Be Yom Tov. The Migo de Hala Ale Shavua Behol, Hala Ale Name Be Yom Tov. We got a way out. He made a Shavua that he's not going to plow at all. Not during the week, and not during Yom Tov. Now we have it over here as a Hadush, it's called Amigo. Once already the Shavua will be hal for the weekdays, we tack on also Yom Tov as well. Which means if you just made it for Yom Tov, we say, he's already, Shavua doesn't start. Already on Har Sinai, you made a swear to keep Yom Tov. But once already your Shavua has some viability, legabe the whole, then we call it either Isur Mosif or Isur Kolel. I'm going to explain to you those two concepts in a second. Isur Mosif meaning tack on, or Isur Kolel or it includes. What is Isur Mosif or Isur Kolel? Rashi tells us both these concepts and Rashi gives us examples. Very, very interesting. Look at the Rivan. Migo. Big Rivan. De Haila Ale Shivua. Hainu Isur Kolel v'Isur Mosif. Whichever way you want to learn it. You want to learn it as a Isur Kolel or Mosif, and I'll explain to both of them. Kegon, Shebahaticha Atzman Nosaf Isur. Let's talk about Isur Mosif first. You have a Haticha, it's a Isur already, and now you Mosif another Isur on it. How? Al Yedesh Shivu'azu. Vahavi Le, Kegon, Ilu Nosaf Al Yom Tov Isur Al Yedesh Shivu'a. Like here. You added an extra Isur to the Yom Tov, which was a Isur already, through a Shavua. The Habid and Mosif. Isur Mosif works. Give me an example of Isur Mosif. Dumya de Eshet Ish. They had a lady that was married. She's a Eshet Ish already. V'na'asa chamoto. And then she became your mother-in-law. She was married already. She's Ishadish. She wasn't your mother-in-law. Then you married her daughter. When you married her daughter, she becomes not only Ishat Ish, which she was already, now you're Mosif on it, Isur Hamotor. There's a big difference, by the way. What's the difference? De Mosifu, de Mikara, Kaimale Behenik. Ishat Ish is punishable by Hainik. Behashta, Kaimale Beskira. Now that she's Hamotor, the punishment is Sikira. What's the punishment going to be? Sikira. Because Isur Mosif, you say. That when you have one Isur and you upgraded it to another Isur, we say that works. Iname, Helef, de Notar. You have fat from a Korban that was left over after its time that you're allowed to eat it. Right? Even before it was a Qurban, before it was notar, you're not allowed to eat chalif. And now you tack on a new isur called isur notar. That's called isur mosif. Now we discuss isur kolel. Isur kolel, haynu she'en isur nosaf ala haticha. We're not putting an extra isur on the piece of meat. Ela kolel acherim be'isura. Kolel, a isur kolel is when you have a certain isur and then it includes. It's an inclusive isur that brings in others. What's the case? Kegon chenasa achot hamoto. Okay, a guy got married to his mother-in-law's sister. His mother-in-law's sister. Legal. Demigod de mitzar bechul abata. Now what happens? When he marries his mother-in-law's sister, he becomes forbidden to all his wife's sisters. That's Isur Achot Ishto, including is his mother-in-law. Because his mother-in-law is one of his wife's sisters. So now, with that Isur Kolel, it was Kolel, his mother-in-law, that was Isur already. One time again. He married his mother-in-law's sister.
His wife's aunt.
Whatever you want to call it. His mother-in-law's sister. So now, after he marries his mother-in-law's sister, what happens? Now all the sisters of his wife become forbidden mahmat achot ishto, which includes his mother-in-law, who is a suit already.
I will say it again.
He married his mother-in-law's sister.
His aunt, his wife's aunt.
I'll say it again.
No, he's not.
He married his mother-in-law's sister.
His mother-in-law's sister.
His new wife's.
He married his mother-in-law's sister. And now, what happens? As a result, he's asur to his mother-in-law again. Because it's his wife's sister. But she was forbidden already through mother-in-law. That's called isur mosif. Asur kolel.
Because it's asur to everyone else.
Once already, this Ahot Ishto is Asur. It includes now not only all these ladies, but it includes the mother-in-law that was forbidden already. Everybody's forbidden to marry Ahot Ishto. Everybody. That's Isur on anybody. But the Hadush is this guy, through his Isur Kolel, tacks on another lady that was Asur to him already. Continue. Iname, another case. Kegon. Hamoto, his mother-in-law, the Naasit Eshet Ish. It was his mother-in-law, and then she became Eshet Ish. He married his wife when his mother-in-law was single, so she wasn't Eshet Ish. She was only a Suratim Mishum mother-in-law, and then she was single. And after he got married, she got married. So now she becomes Isur Eshet Ish. Okay, the Migod Dechayle Kulaam Mishum. Now, when she becomes Isur Eshet Ish, that includes everybody. That's Isur Kolel, because now the whole world is forbidden to her. Also, migu, that she becomes asur to the whole world, we tack it on to the isur of mother-in-law that was there already. So again, when it includes others, so you bring the one that's there, that's how isur kolel works. Isur mosif works, that what? You have isur on the haticha, then now you're just adding another isur separately in a different time, you're adding it on top of it. Either way, that's the way the shivua is working over here. What did the guy do? He made a shivua that what? I am not going to plow, not on hol, and not on yom tov. Once already, it's hal on yom on hol, because you can make a shivua on hol, so now you can be mosif or kolel the yom tov as well. Therefore, the shivua is going to be hal. Oh, if the shivua is going to be hal, that's an extra isur. Why did you tell me only 8 isur in the Mishnah? The chaura is hayav. Another one. That the Gemara answers. midi de'ite b'she'ela lo ketani. We're not talking about things that you can get out of. A guy can go to the rabbi and get out of the Shavuah. Shavuah is undoable. All the other surin in the Mishnah are conclusive isur. You can go to the rabbi, rabbi, I made a Shavuah, can you make me hatarat nedari, make me hafarat Shavuot. No, we're not talking about that. Oh, velo, vare hekdesh. What are you talking about? Didn't you say one of the isurin in the Mishnah is what? Hekdesh. And the chaurah, you can go to the rabbis and make she'elah on hekdesh. So the Gemara says, no, bebechor. It's talking about what type of hekdesh? A bechor. There's no, it's born kadosh. There's no hafara on a bechor. Vare nazir. Nazir. The nazir can go to the rabbis and he can make she'elah on his nazirut and get out of it. And you still counted it. The nazir shimshon. Oh, we're talking about a special nazirut. What's nazir shimshon? That was heralded by an angel, like shimshon. Such a nazirut of Shimshon, which was already said by a malach, that's not able to make kafara. Gemara says, what are you talking? That can't be. Nazir Shimshon bar etamuyel lemetimu. One of the isurim in the Mishnah was, he was acquainted in a nazir that went into a cemetery. But what are you talking about? If he's nazir Shimshon, nazir Shimshon is allowed to be metamet lemetim. So that cannot be the case. Because Shimshon was allowed to be metamet to the dead people. He went to wars. So if that cannot be the case of Nazir of Shimshon, yes? Easy answer. The Tana doesn't hold this business of Isur Kolel. That what? Just because you want to say it's Hal on your, on Hol, so you want to say it's Hal on Hol, so that can be Kolel even Yom Tov. He don't go with that. And therefore, you cannot make a Shivu'ah for Yom Tov because you're Mushba ve'omed Mehar Sinai on Yom Tov. Therefore, the Shivu'ah is not Hal. Therefore, you can't count it. Therefore, you're not going to be Ovid. But what do you mean? I told you have a Migu. Migu, the Hal Behol, Hal, he don't go with that. That's called Isur Kolel. He don't go with that. That it's inclusive to everything else. Therefore, you cannot count that case. Look at the Ivan. Just look at the Ivan. Nezir Shimshon. Nezir Shimshon. Bar temuyel metimu, klum asuru letamel metim. Adam shemekabel nezirutu al yedem alach. If a person doesn't say receive this nezirut al yedem alach, like Shimshon, ha'amrinim masechet nazir, Shimshon utal letamel metim. He was allowed to be temet metim, Shimshon. Uba'el apukem haikara, like it says the pasuk, vayach me'ava hamishim, he killed 150 people. Uparich le ve'ema de shabinu gosesin. The Gemara says, who said he killed them? Maybe he only made them gosesin. Meaning he put them on their deathbed, but he really didn't kill them. El Gemara says we have a tradition that he actually killed them. So we know that Shimshon is allowed to be mitameh to the metim. Okay, that's good. Okay, comes the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Hoshaya, Hamarbiya Shor Pesuleh HaMukdashim. Okay, what did the guy do? The guy put together a shor that was designated for a korban, that a blemish came into it. Okay? So now it's pasul to be put on the mizbeah. Now, what do you do with such an animal when you have a mum in a korban? You have to do what's called pidyon. You have to redeem it. You take the money, you put the kedusha on the money. However, you're still not allowed to work the animal. Torah says you can't work the animal. You want to eat it, you could eat it. Eating is not working it. What did this guy do? He breeded them. Breeding is considered working the animal. So it says, lokeh. Shnayim, you're going to get two sets of malkuyot. Number one, lo ta'avor b'mchor shorecha, you worked it. And number two, you put them kelayim. You did two. You crossbreeded two different species. Good. Look at the Riban. Hamarbiya shor pesula mukdashim shenifde. You redeemed it. Ve'afilu al mino loke. Oh boy, it's a big hadush. Even if you made it with its own kind. Whatever it was, a sheep, you put a sheep with a sheep. Doesn't matter. It's considered already Isur Kilayim. Why? Shere guf ehad v'asur katuf shne gufin. This animal over here that was a korban, that became pasul, that you redeemed, is quasi. It's kodesh and it's hol. It has both statuses to it. So therefore, it's like you're taking a kodesh animal and you're mating it with a whole animal. And therefore, even if it's the same species, understand what we're saying over here? Even if it's a sheep and a sheep, doesn't matter. This item was Qurban. You redeemed it? Riban. תורת חולין, תורת קדשים יש עליו, תורת חולין שמותה באכילה, חולין קשור להתאיר את מחוץ לפתח המועד, כאילו לא הוקדש מעולם, צריך לזה בקדוש. ותורת קדשים שעשו בגיזה בעבודה, אבל את קדשים, you're not allowed to shear it, and you're not allowed to work it. Okay, which again is a very, very big, big hadush over here. Now, the Rivan, okay, let's go, let's finish this case over here. Amar Bitzhak, the Bitzhak comes along and says like this, Hamanhig Beshor Pesul HaMukdashim, this is a bigger hadush. A guy takes a short Pesul HaMukdashim. What's the case? It's a sheep. You designated for a korban. What happened to it? It became blemished. What do you do to it? Pidyon. Okay, now what? You're not allowed to work the animal. Correct? Let's say you put a load on the animal and you walked it four steps. You're going to be hayav two isurim. Loke. Not two isurim, one isur. What's the isur? Share guf echadu v'asa katuv b'shne gufim. Wow. You're working the animal, which is asur, and it's like you're working kilayim. It's one animal, but we treat it like two. It's like you're working a kodesh and a whole animal together. Even though it's one animal. That is a big hadush. That is a big hadush. One animal, I have two. And is it okay? Mishum kilayim. Amazing. What is the source for this? We cannot know. Why can't we know it? Because the Rivan says we don't know it. Look at the Rivan. The last line. Ve'lo shamati ra'aya minalan de'cholin ve'kadashim kel'ayim ze bazeh ve'davar temahu. Yeah, because it's really a shocker. You tell me that every animal that you had a balmu and you redeemed it, so that any time you're going to walk it now and put something on its back, you're going to be hayav b'shum kilayim. Because it's like you're breeding two different animals together. That's a hadush. The Mepharshim struggle to find out where they're going to learn this from. But that's what it is. Okay, boys. Kama malkin oto. All right, basic question. How many malkut do you give the guy? 40 chaser achat. 39. Shneimar bim mispar 40. It doesn't say mispar 40. Bim mispar means like rounding off to 40. Minyan shu samuch l'arba'im. A count that's close to 40, which is 39. Rabbi Yehuda omer, 40 shelemot. No. He gets 40, hu loke.
40 is
40. Ve'echan hu loke et ha'yetera. Where does he get the 40? Because the Gemara is going to learn that you give him lashes in threes. One, two, three, on his back. But the question is, where is the 40? The 40 is an extra one. Where did he give him the extra one? So it says, Ben Ketefav, between his shoulders. And you know what will tell us exactly where that one comes. En omdim oto ela b'makot re'oyot neshtalesh. Okay, it's another halacha. When the doctor's on premises, has to give him an assessment to see if he can handle all 39. If the doctor thinks he's going to die, so they don't give him all 39. They have to give him an assessment, but it has to be divisible by 3. That means, if let's say they assess him for 19, they don't give him 19. Give him 18. Got to be divisible always by 3.
And the assessment is to death, Rabbi?
Yes. That means 18 will bring him to the brink. If he gets 19, he dies.
That's the assessment.
Amdu lekabel 40. Okay, now we get to the story of the Gemara, which is, get these cases good. Let's say they assessed him, doctor, he's perfect health, the guy, give him 40. Veloke miksat. And they started giving him lashes. They gave him, I don't know, 15, 20 of them, whatever it is. Ve'amdu she'en yachol kabel 40. And the doctors came along, they reassessed, and they said, you know what? This guy's not going to make it. He's not going to be able to handle 40. Patur. He's off the hook. He doesn't even have to finish his first assessment. They assessed him already for 40. He got 20. Right? Now they assessed him for 36. Says, okay, give him at least 16 more. No. Once already they hit him, and they reassessed him for a different item, and they lashed him already, he got embarrassed already in front of Beddin. Once he got embarrassed in front of Beddin, he is off the hook. Now, what's the logic for that? The logic for it is like this. The first assessment must have been a taut. Because when they reassessed them, they saw that he can't handle it. Now, once already they did assess him for whatever he's able to handle, you don't make two assessments on a guy. They already were posek 40. They were posek already. And they started giving it to him. And already he accepted the punishment. Now they come along and say, reassessment 36. Sorry, you can't reassess a guy. Once you reassess a guy, there's no double jeopardy. Therefore, the Mefarshim say like this: once already he got embarrassed by the beginning of the lashes, the first omer already knocked out, and danin oto pam shniya api omer hasheni. You don't judge him on the second omer. Now look at the next case. Amdu lekabel 18. They gave him 18. They said, "You guys worthy to get 18." Umishelaka, and they gave him the 18. After they gave him the 18, amdu sheyachol lekabel 40. You know what? This guy's strong. Give him 40. Yalla says patur. He is patur as well. Look at the top Iban. The amdu she'en, of course, he gets less. The amdu she'en yachol lekabel patur. That's the first case. Why? The kiban dinitbaza bebedin velaka ksat. Once already he got partial wares, he got embarrassed. Sagi lebehachi. Aval lo laka. But let's say he didn't get lashes. The key line of the Iban. Let's say he didn't get lashes. They judged him for 40. They didn't give him anything yet. Then before they gave him one whip even, they rejudged him for 36. It says, Ela amdu la 40, v'hazub amdu she'en yachol lekabel kulam, lo miftar, de'en rashein legroa ha'omid. You can't go against the omid. Ela loke achar zeman. Let him get better, and loke achar zeman, it sounds like you're going to give him the first one. They judged him for 40. And later on, they looked at him and they said, you know, I didn't give him anything yet. Hey, you know what? Guy's worth 36. From Riban, it's Mashma. Wait till the guy gets better. Obviously, the first Omid was a good Omid, they're going to say. And therefore, let him get better and give him 40. Look at the next case. Let's say they gave him 18. They judged him for 18. And then if they got whipped, Hazru Bamdu Shiakol Adan Kabal Arbaim, Patur, Shudilaka, Avalolaka, Rashaim no Sif al Omid Rishon. Unbelievable. But if they gave him, if they didn't give him, they judged him for 18. They didn't touch him yet. They rejudge him again. He said, well, this guy can get 40. He gave him 40. So the Hadush is, but once you start whipping him, it's too late. But as long as you didn't whip him yet, the judgment can change.
First case, when they gave him 40 and then it went down, why would they give him the original 40?
Where they whipped him?
No, they didn't whip him.
They didn't whip him yet. That's the Iban Shita. The Iban Shita is because the first Omid was a good Omid.
So why don't you say that on the second case also?
Because he got Nikla ready.
The last case we just said. If they said originally he was
18 and then
they
gave
him 40? They're allowed to add.
You're allowed to Mosif.
So how come we didn't? You could be Mosif, but you can't retract?
Yeah, it's a Humrah. You're right. Once they didn't hit him, you go to Humrah. You give him the stricter one. Whatever the stricter one is, that's exactly what's happening. You give him the greater of the two. You want to know why is that true? We'll have to wait for the Gemara to see that. Yeah. Okay. Again, this is quoted to Havamina, the Hazur. He says, but Gemara is going to say it differently. Gemara. My Tama. Okay. Why do you tell me 39? The Torah says 40. The rabbis come along and say 39. If it would have said 40 in number, that's 40. That's a round number. A number that's close to 40. That's what bimispar arba'im means. Amar Rabba says, how foolish are the people? Why are they foolish? The kaime mekame sefer Torah. When the sefer Torah comes into the room, they stand up. When a rabbi walks in, they don't stand up. Why should you stand up for the rabbi? He saved your life. The Torah says the ilu sefer Torah ketuv arba'im. V'atu rabbanan batzru hada. They minus one for you. You got to give kavod to the chachamim. They were able to be doresh the Torah for you. If you only had Torah, you get 40. The rabbis came along and they saved you back. So you stand up for the civil, they don't stand up for the rabbis? To show you that the Hachamim have an ability to be Doresh the Torah. It's an amazing thing. Torah says 40. They come along and it doesn't mean 40. It means 39. And they're really, from their explanation, becomes the Torah. Everybody knows. Every child knows 39 Malkut. Even though it doesn't say once in the Torah 39. But you're relying on Hazal's Kabbalah that that's the way you have to learn the Pesukim. Okay. Rabbi Yehuda Omer 40 Shelemot. Okay, Rabbi Yehuda says, no. It's 40 is 40. You don't go with it. Amar Rabbi Yitzhak, my time, Rabbi Yehuda, dechtiv. Ma hamakot ha'ele ben yadecha. The Pasuk says, where is this Pasuk in the Nevi'im, no? In Zechariah. He tells him, what are these makot on your back? Ve'amar asher kiti bet me'ahabi. I hit the wand, well actually, asher huketi bet me'ahabai. I was hit by the one that loved me. The one that loved me, meaning to give me kapara, he hit me. Now, what does this got to do with what 40, by the way? So look at, we have nothing. From the fact that it says, ben yadecha. Ben yadecha means between his shoulders.
Lecture mode on.
It's calling his shoulders ben yadecha. When you get the one on the shoulder, when there's a 40. Because we said, where's the 40th one go? In between the shoulder. Oh, so the fact that it said, I'm getting hit ben yadecha. Why are you getting hit ben yadecha? It must be that was 40. Good? Because the 40 one goes over here. Gemara says, similarly, what do the rabbis do with this pasuk? It's talking about when a rabbi hits a student. When the rabbi hits the student, where is he supposed to hit the student? In a place where he won't hurt him. Where's the place he won't hurt him? On the back, in between the shoulders. So this pasuk was not talking about a guy that was getting malkut. It was talking about a rabbi that was hitting his student or a father hitting his son. So they're coming along and saying, that's the spot where you're supposed to hit. Nothing to do with the 40th Makkah. Good. Let's continue one more piece. Okay. So what let's review the two cases in the Mishnah. We have a Resha and we have a Sefa. What's the Resha? They calculated him for 40. Right? They gave him. They gave him 20.
There are no more questions.
Okay. They judged him for 40. They gave him 20 and then they reassessed him for 36. He's off the hook. Once they hit him, he's off the hook. But it's mashma only because they didn't hit him. But if they did not hit him, then already they'll go all the way. It's only patur because they hit him.
Right.
But if they didn't hit him, they're going to give it to him. What's the second case in the Mishnah? Second case in the Mishnah, they judged him for 18. And they gave him the
18.
Then they said, you know what? This guy can take 40. So my what? They gave the 18 already. He's patur. Mashma only because they gave it to him. But they didn't give it to him.
Right.
Give him the 40. So Gemara says, what's the problem with that? Gemara says, Laka'in. No Laka'in. No. Urminu, we have a contradiction. Amdu lekabel arba'im. First case of the Mishnah. Right? They judged them for 40. Ve'hazru ve'amdu she'en yakol lekabel arba'im. Then they said, you know what? He's not going to get 40. He can only handle 36. Patur. Now this bright, that doesn't make a difference whether he got hit or didn't get hit. Smash, if he even didn't get hit, he is patur. But the diuk for the Mishnah is, if you didn't get it,
they could change it.
They could change it. Now, next case. Amdu lekabel 18. That's the second case in the Mishnah. They judged him to get 18. Ve'hazru ve'amdu shekol lekabel 40. Again, patur. It's mashma even if they didn't hit him yet. Where Abba's Mishnah is mashma only because they hit him. But if they didn't hit him, it's mashma, you're going to get it. You have a stira. Understand the stira? Gemara answers. Amar Rav Sheshat lakasha. It all depends what the case in the Mishnah is talking about, where they judged him on the same day. Now, it's not mistaber to say that his body changed on the same day so drastically from being able to receive 40 and now they're telling him he cannot receive only 36 in such a small amount of time. And therefore, you have to assume that the first omid that they made must have been a mistake. And therefore, we say it was like it never happened. And therefore, if he never got Malkut yet, give him the new assessment. But if he got Malkut yet, so that he got embarrassed. Get it again. On the same day, you judge him 40. 10 minutes later, they're hitting him. They give him middle of the hitting, they judge him again. Oh, this guy can only handle 36. So the Mishnah said, you hit him already? That's it, he's off the hook. Maspa, if you didn't hit him, then give him the 36. What do you mean give him the 36? Explanation is because you have to assume on the same day, the first assessment must have been wrong. How do you go from 40 to 36? Must be they messed up. So don't count the first assessment, Bichlal. It's only like you had a second assessment, which is like the first one now. And if I, what did they judge it for? 36. Give him the 36. Similarly, at the end of the Mishnah, what's the last case of the Mishnah? They judged him for 18. And they gave him the 18. Now they judge him, he can go to 40. Too late. You gave him 18 already. He got what he got. But if they judge him for 18, and then all of a sudden, the 10 minutes later, before the day, he's a 40. Stama, we say they made a mistake on the 18. And then they give him the... Give him the 40. Give him what he deserves. Good. However, the Braita is talking about which means over here it's talking about where they assessed him on one day and on the second assessment was done on a different day. So then already you can assume that the first assessment was good. People change from day to day. And therefore, since the first assessment on day one was kasher, but his bidiut, his health changed, bintayim, got weak, therefore there's no chiluk whether they did it or not. Once you say that the first assessment was good, you wait till he gets better, and you give him the first assessment. Whether he got lashes or whether he didn't get lashes, you're going to give him the... Actually, I can give him the...
Why is he patur?
You're going to give him the weaker... One. You're going to give him the kal. Again, in the Braita, they judge him on the first day. Let's go to the cases. They judge him on the first day, 40. Beautiful. Second day, they judge them. You know what? You cannot handle 40. You can only handle 36. So therefore, we're going to say, you know what? The first assessment must have been a good assessment. Because they judged him on Monday. Here's what it was. When they got around to Tuesday, that happened to be, guys, bidiut changed. So in that case, we'll say, you know what? Give him the 36. We'll give them the kal between the assessments. Or the opposite. They judge them on the Monday 18. And then on Tuesday they say, you know what? This guy's a strong guy. He can handle 40. So in that case also, even though they didn't hit him yet, we'll say that the first assessment was good. So give him the first assessment. The question is, why when they assessed him for 40, and the assessment was good, and the next day they assessed him for 36... Why do you give him the 36? The Chaura, wait until he gets strong again to give him the 40. And I said, why are you giving him the Kal on that case? Again, you judged him for 40. Is the assessment good? We say it is good. But Tuesday comes on and we reassess him. And the rabbi, this guy's not going to be able to take 40. He can only take 36. So what do we say? Give him the 36. I'm asking you, why give him the 36? Since the assessment of the 40 was good, wait till he gets stronger and give him the 40. Why do you give him the kal? So he says there, "Umikre shavdu atihlal arba'im v'lo elku v'ad shigei yom ha'alkaha." By the time they got to the day of the whipping, kahash, he got weak. Afidu amdu atasha shenu yachol lekot klal. Let's say they, you can't get anything. He's not worth getting anything. Hareze niftar. שכיוון שעומר הראשון היה יפה, הרי כיוון נתבזה בבדין בעצם הדבר שדנו למלכות.
וואו.
Even without מלכות. Amazing thing. I'll say better. Wild cases. They judge them on Monday 40. היה מלכות 40. Tuesday comes along, they tell him, this guy is a weakling, he can't take anything. You know what the Pshat Gemara is saying? Even if they didn't whip him, patur. Patur meaning what? He gets zero. What did he get? The busha of being sentenced to Malkut. The busha itself, and the Omid was a good Omid. Monday's Omid was a good Omid. And he received the sentence to receive Malkut. That alone exempts him. Wow. What's the second case? One more case. Amdu al shmona aser. Second case, they gave him 18. They judged him. And anchi gave Malka Hebri. Now they tell him, you can get 40. En Malkino to yotem in Omid arishon. Again, since the Omid HaRishon was good, you can't give more. I understand that. Since the Omid of the day one was good, 18, I don't give the judge the next day for 40. Bottom line, your first Omid was good, no double judging. He gets 18 when he finally gets better. And the Hadush in the first case is, once you judge them for 40, and that was a good Omid. Now, even if they gave him zero the next day, they told him, he's off the hook. Why? because your judgment on day four was good, and it's like you got whipped, and therefore you're going to be patur. Wow, even if you didn't get malkut. Amen.